king idly. Then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, it is Sunday today, the first day of the new week. It is the Christian Sabbath, the day that we have the privilege and blessing of gathering together for worship. As we gather on this first day of the week, we are reminded of God's great acts in the past. We're reminded that He is the God who is the Creator God, making all that we see around us. We're reminded of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the week and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, again on that first day of the week. Sunday not only looks back to what God has done, but sets the tone for what is to come, knowing that God goes ahead of us into this new week. One of the songs, the hymns that we sing is, "It is the day of all the week the best." Isaiah speaks about the blessing of the Sabbath day. But we have to admit, on a Sunday morning, when we're trying to get everything together, when we're trying to get the children dressed and their hands washed and teeth brushed and trying to get in the car and trying to make it to church on time, it's easy for us to forget that the Sabbath is a blessing. It's easy for us to think of it as a matter of law rather than something in which we joy and delight. So this morning, we're going to look at this beautiful short text from Isaiah, a text which gives us instructions as for how we are to enter this day, and a text that reminds us of the wonderful blessings there are when we do observe God's Christian Sabbath, when we do delight in this day. He begins, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath." Now that's strange language, turn back your foot from the Sabbath. What the prophet is doing here is, as they often do, using picturesque language. He thinks of our life as a path on which we walk. And what he is saying when he says turn back your foot, he's saying when you walk into that Sabbath day, it is not like every other day. Now, there are many things we do throughout the week, wonderful things, God-glorifying things. But when we walk into this day, it is a day that is distinct, a day that is different. It is a special day, a day the Lord Himself blessed, as we read in the law earlier this morning, that God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He says, if you refrain from doing your pleasure on my holy day. The Sabbath, as wonderful as it is, was not given for our own self-enjoyment, that we simply do our pleasure on the Lord's day. No, it is given to us that we might do God's pleasure. Now, we certainly hope we do that every day of the week, in our homes, with our children, with our spouse, at our jobs, even in our recreation, but in a special way, in a particular way, in a distinct way. We seek to do that which pleases God, particularly on the Christian Sabbath. In creation, God declares this day holy. It is, It is special time. It is carved out time, not simply for us to do our own pleasure on His holy day. He says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, call it a delight, something special, something distinctive. When we think about something that's delightful, it is something that is particular and special for us. When we get to Christmas time, in the couple weeks before Christmas, my wife takes out a list of recipes that she has for particular cookies and candies and snacks that she makes for the family at Christmas time. Now, she could do this any time of the year, but these are just kind of special. We just have these around Christmas. There's something in which we delight. Not something for every day, but something special in which we delight, something we anticipate, something we look forward to. In fact, sometimes the kids, if they're coming to our house for Christmas, will say, Mom, don't forget to make this particular thing, which is their favorite. They anticipate the joy of delighting in these things. We are to call the Sabbath a delight, something we anticipate, something we look forward to. We can't wait to enjoy this once again. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. The day is honorable. It is something to be celebrated. It is something to be honored. It is something to be kept special and holy. Something that even as we leave this day, we anticipate the next one, 7 days from now. Can't wait to delight once again. We honor the day. And that's where he goes on. He says, if you turn back your foot, if you call the Sabbath a delight, if you honor it, not going your own way. Now, this is more than just calling it a delight or calling it honorable. This is actually living as if it is. If you actually honor the day. He says, if you honor it by not going your own ways. God has given us 6 days in which to labor in our activities, in which to use the gifts and talents He has given to us in service to Him, 6 days throughout the week. But on that Christian Sabbath day, our focus turns to God. Oh, we know that there will be works of necessity that have to be done. You can ask any farmer, the cows don't stop giving milk on Sunday. They need to be milked. We are thankful for those who do works of necessity, who are on first responders, who care for God's people and for others. We recognize there are works of necessity that have to happen. But what he's talking about here, he says, honoring the day by not doing your own works, those things that do not have to happen. Those things that we can set aside that we might focus on the things of God. Honor it by not going your own way or seeking your own pleasure. Now, there are many things that we enjoy, things that we can enjoy throughout the week. But on the Christian Sabbath, our focus is on those things particularly that God enjoys. God enjoys fellowship with His people. God enjoys spending time with us through His Word and through prayer. I know during the week it can get so busy and our devotional time can be pushed to the side. But on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, it is a day tailor-made for devotions, gathering corporately as His people around His Word, but also taking time individually, taking time to look into the Word of God and to spend time in prayer to Him. Oh, again, there are works of mercy which have to happen, but we also focus on what God's pleasure is. He says, honoring it, not going your own way, not seeking your own pleasure, not even talking idly. Even our conversation on the Lord's Day is different. At the risk of stepping on toes, the first thing we should talk about when we greet our friends on Sunday are not the MLB standings. Not how the Dodgers are doing or how the Angels did. Our thought should be to discuss the things of God. Following church, it would be wonderful if we spent time reflecting together on what we heard from the Word of God that morning. And I would encourage you, particularly as families, when you go home and if you have a dinner around the table, spend time with your children, talking to them about what we just did, about the worship of God, perhaps the songs that we sang, or the sermon that was preached. Help them to enter into the spirit of the day, not just idly talking. And maybe this afternoon we have a little time for rest and refreshment, and we're going to spend some time reading or some time watching the television. I would suggest that perhaps not going first of all to the ball game or perhaps even to the news, but taking up something to read. Maybe a magazine that reflects on what's happening in God's world in the light and lens of His law. Maybe a commentary on a book of the Bible you want to know more about. Or if none of those interest you, just take up the Bible itself. There's nothing better to read on the Lord's Day. Nothing better to avoid the idle words, the chatter, than to hear God speak to us in His holy word. These things are distinctive in the life of the believer. The way we approach and live and honor the Lord's Day is one of the things that distinguishes us from unbelievers. Unbelievers can be good husbands and wives. Unbelievers can be good parents to their children. Unbelievers can be good employers. They can be good employees. But you don't see them honoring, taking delight in the Lord's Day. Many of them simply see it as a second Saturday. Hey, we had Saturday to do our own thing. Now we got Sunday to do more of our own thing. No, it is distinctive in the life of the believer to call the Lord's Day a delight, to honor it, and to live in light of that truth. Isaiah goes on. Having given us three standards, he says, if you turn back your foot, if you call it a delight, if you honor it. Now he's going to talk about three blessings. He says, then, if you do these things, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And notice the subtle transition he makes. He's talked about honoring the Lord's day. And he says, when you do that, your delight will be in the Lord Himself. Because you will have tuned your heart to that which God desires, and you will delight not only in a day, but in God Himself. Previously in this chapter, he gives us a warning about simply external obedience, particularly with regard to fasting. But he talks now about a heart of devotion, a heart of love for God, and then fellowship with God. He doesn't say if you do these things, God's going to give you a list of do's and don'ts, things you can do, things you can't do. I think when I was growing up, I saw Sunday that way. There was a list of things we could do, a list of things we couldn't do, and missed that that it is to be a delight of our heart. And when we delight in the day as God has set it apart as holy, we delight in God Himself as He gives us this day to rest from our daily labors, as He gives us this day to spend time in worship, gathering with brothers and sisters. What a joy it is to be here this morning. What a delight for us together to come into the presence of our God. He says, then you will take delight in the Lord. And he says, secondly, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Again, that's kind of a strange phrase. What's he talking about? This image of riding on the heights of the earth is a picture of what a king would do. A conquering king would be said to come and ride on the heights of the land. That king would control the strategic locations. The best part of the land would be his. He would ride on its heights. What's the blessing for us when we call the Sabbath a delight? We too, like kings, ride on the heights of the land. We have the strategic locations and best parts because, not of who we are, but because we have a king. We have a king who has ridden on the heights of the land. We have a king who on the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath day, rose from the dead and showed his power over sin and death and hell. We have a king who on that first day of the week poured out his Spirit upon us that we might live in a way that is pleasing to him, that we might recognize Jesus Christ as king, as glorious victor, as the one who, because of his victory, now allows us victory also, to enjoy the blessings of God, to ride on the heights of the land, to recognize Jesus Christ as our King, as our Lord. That's his call to you this morning, to recognize him as Lord of your life. The call of the gospel this morning is not do a bunch of things on Sunday or don't do a bunch of things on Sunday. The call is recognize the Lord, the King of the day, the one who rides on the heights. Put your faith and hope and trust in him, and you too are brought in and given these glorious blessings. The Old Testament looked forward to that end of the week Sabbath. We look back to the victory accomplished on our behalf by Jesus Christ. And out of that glorious victory, we live into our life, riding on the heights of the land. He says, you will take delight in the Lord, you'll ride on the heights of the land, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. What was the heritage of Jacob? Well, the heritage of Jacob was a land, was a kingdom God was providing. And we too recognize that we are part of that kingdom, living as God's citizens in his kingdom, using our gifts and talents throughout the week, because we've been blessed in the Lord's day, living throughout the week in a way that is pleasing to him. Pleasing to him in every part of our life. We have that heritage, we have that kingdom responsibility, that in our homes now we act and live in a way that recognizes the kingship of Christ. In our marriages, we recognize Christ's call to us as husbands, Christ's call to us as wives. We recognize his instructions for us as parents to train our children in his ways, that they too might grow and embrace Jesus Christ. We recognize that in every part of our life, Jesus Christ has the kingship. The blessings of honoring the Lord's day spill over into the week, that we might have the heritage of Jacob, our father. Isaiah concludes very simply, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God himself is the author of this prophecy. Isaiah is not here giving us his opinion. about what he thinks the Sabbath should be like. He is not telling us how he feels about the day. It's very easy for us when we discuss these types of things to fall into that pattern. Well, I feel and I think and it's my opinion. Our feelings must be a byproduct of our obedience to God. That we do call the day a delight, that we do live into that delight, and then it spills over into the rest of our lives. And when we do that, it will be a glorious day. It will be something in which we delight because God there gives his blessing. We remember that when we honor the day God has set apart, we are being, in a particular way, his image bearers. God himself rested on the week of creation. God labored for 6 days creatively. And on that Sabbath day, God set aside his creative work and he rested and took delight in that which he had made. The theologian John Calvin says, "It is no small thing to encourage our zeal, knowing that we are imaging God himself as we enter into the Sabbath." No small thing to encourage our zeal that we are reflecting God's image in our lives, imitating him as he himself rested. It's another Lord's Day. Another week has gone by. Perhaps we have anticipated this day, perhaps we have not. And yet God has given us this day, a day which he himself has made holy, a day which he himself has set apart. And now he calls us, welcomes us, invites us to enter into the joy of the day, to turn aside from our regular labors, to delight in the Sabbath, to not go our own way, but to go his way. May God continue to work in the hearts and lives of his people as we call and live the Sabbath as our delight. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank you and praise you for the beauty of your word, a word which is instructive to us, a word which helps us to live in a way that is pleasing to you. We thank you, O God, for this Lord's Day, for this Christian Sabbath day. Thank you for the joy that we have as we gather together for worship, to sing our songs of praise to you, to focus our hearts and our minds upon you. Lord God, may this not be the extent of our delight in the day. May we continue throughout this day in a particular way to focus upon you, upon your majesty, upon your glory, upon all of your goodness to us. Help us, O God, truly, to keep your day holy and to delight in this Sabbath. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.